Good afternoon, everyone. First things first, in your bulletin, on the front, the title is in the sort of yellow, green, beige, I don't know, gold color. It says, Forgiveness, Faith, and Service. That's a terrible title for our message for today. As I've studied the text and read more commentary, I understand a little bit more deeper about the meaning of our text today. So as you can see on the title, it's different. It's the power to forgive. Kunishige-san, yoroshiku onegai shimasu. Title wa kore tonarimasu. And as you read this scripture today, from verse 1 through verse 10, it's going to seem bara-bara, disjointed and kind of scattered. And I want to show you today, this is one of the most powerful teachings that Jesus Christ gives to his people. And it is unified. It is not a scattered text of four different topics. It is all related to a specific theme. And our hope is to expound on that today. So, we're going to begin at verse 1, and I'll read verse 1 through 5. Please join me at verse 6. Luke chapter 17. Jesus said to his disciples, Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. But woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. If they repent, forgive them. If they sin against you seven times in a day and seven times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. The apostles said to the Lord, Increase our faith. Let's read together. He replied, If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, Be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, Come along now and sit down to eat? Won't he rather say, Prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. The very words of Jesus Christ. Amen. Four different topics, it seems. Woe to those who cause people to stumble. Watch yourselves. Rebuke and then forgive. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, the trees will obey you. And then something about we are unworthy servants just doing our duty. It's all so, what's happening here? Jesus is talking about forgiveness. But before that, he's transitioning from chapter 16 to chapter 17. In chapter 16, we covered it 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks. Jesus is saying, watch out for the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. They say they love God. They say they want to serve God and serve people. No. They serve mammon. They love money. And their hypocrisy is causing many people to stumble. The word stumble in verse 1 and in verse 2 is the Greek word skandalizo. You can hear the English word scandal. He's saying the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, who say they love God but actually love money, who say they serve the Lord's people but actually serve mammon, their hypocrisy is causing the people of Israel to stumble. How? Their hypocrisy is leading them away from God. The word scandalizo, to stumble, means to provide a trap. Scandalize, or scandal, is the trigger of the trap. And so it makes people fall over. But there is another way to translate this word stumble. And watch this now. The way to translate this word stumble is give offense. There's other places in the Bible where it's translated to offend others. So now he turns to you and me, his disciples, his followers, and he says, listen now, you want to be my disciple? You want to be a Christian? You want to follow me? Here's what it is. You're not to give offense, and you're not to take offense. My followers will not be those who go around offending people and who go around harboring offenses, being offended. These Pharisees, they're turning people away from God because of their love for money. Now, here's you. You're going to turn people away from God because of your hypocrisy. What kind of hypocrisy? You can't forgive. So he's going to transition from the hypocrisy of the Pharisees' love of money into the hypocrisy of Christians who cannot forgive. Do you see that? Don't you go offending people. Here's how you offend people. You walk around harboring unforgiveness. You walk around with bitterness in your heart. You walk around and you're cold to people. You walk around and you're gossiping about others. You go around and you intentionally wish for the harm and hurt and pain of others. Oh, you don't say it out loud, but it's written all over your face. If you can't say amen, you ought to say ouch. Jesus says, you're going to cause people to stumble. You're going to be an offense to those who don't know God. You're going to cause people to turn away from God. They see your unforgiving spirit and they say, I don't need that in my life. What does Christianity have to do with me? And so Jesus in verse 3 says, watch yourselves. Learn forgiveness. And then he teaches us about forgiveness. What does he say? Ooh, this is a tough one. Is it there? Oh, good. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. Now, in the English, it seems like, somebody does something wrong to me, I give them the truth. I speak the truth to them. I stab them with a knife of truth and I turn it in their gut. And then if they say, oh, I'm so sorry, I repent, then I can forgive them. That's how it seems in the English. Your forgiveness is contingent on their repentance. Their repentance is the condition for your forgiveness. That's what it seems like, yes? No. Please note, it is one sentence. It is one sentence. And Jesus is intentionally putting rebuke and forgiveness in one sentence. It's not two people here, right? It's not one person who offends you and says, you rebuke them. And then another person says, I'm sorry, and then you say, oh, okay, it's okay, I forgive you. No. What Jesus is saying here, please follow me. This takes deep, deep understanding, but it's so plain and simple. He is saying, you have to forgive before you rebuke. It's saying, your forgiveness does not depend on their performance. That means when you rebuke somebody, your rebuke is differently motivated. Here's what he's saying. When you rebuke, when you correct, when you say you were wrong, this is what you did, this is how I'm hurt, this is wrong, this is how you offend. When you rebuke somebody, Jesus says, in your heart, you have already forgiven them. And that rebuke is the expression. Here's the way to put it. You have a spring. When you squeeze the spring, and then you let go, it springs forward. That's called the coil. Your rebuke is coiled with forgiveness. It means my motivation for rebuking you is not to put pain and suffering and harm and for you to get my rebuke, or my motivation for rebuking you is love, is love. And here's what it is. Here's one thing I've learned over my 40 years. You don't say, I forgive you, before they say sorry. And you definitely don't write emails or messages, and you write this whole email or this message, and you say, this is what you did, this is what you did wrong, this is how you offended, this is what was a mistake, I forgive you. You don't do that. But it's there in your heart. It's there in your heart. What Jesus is doing is he's taking off the mask that we have. Because there's two kinds of people. One person, this is just a few of us here. One person, or maybe two out of ten, like to rebuke people, like to put people right up against the wall. And there's a flare-up in anger. And there's a hardening of the other person. And they say, you know what? I spoke the truth. I'm not a coward. I don't run away from what needs to be said. I spoke the truth. No, you didn't. You're just trying to punish them. You're trying to make them pay for the wrong that they did to you. And Jesus is exposing that because he puts repentance with rebuke. That's the minority of us. Here's the majority. Here's where he takes the mask off of the other eight of the ten. The other eight of us are cowards, and we say, yeah, you know what? I just let it go. I don't say anything. I'll just forgive you. I'll just forgive you and just let things go, and I'm at peace. And Jesus is saying, but you didn't rebuke them. You didn't rebuke them. Rebuke comes with forgiveness. That means your forgiveness is just you trying to cover up the selfishness of peace. On the one hand, one person is trying to punish, so they rebuke without forgiveness. Do you see that? And on the other hand, the other person is forgiving without the rebuke. That's a selfish peace. That's not real reconciliation. Because rebuke goes hand in hand with forgiveness. You, If you don't have one, you don't have the other. And if you don't have one, you don't have either of them. Am I speaking to myself here? No? I don't know. Okay, all right. I'm just wanted, because I'm getting faces and I'm getting blank. I don't know. The Lord is speaking to me through this, and I hope he's speaking to somebody here, maybe on the YouTube. I don't know. Rebuke and forgiveness come together. That's why he says in verse 3, it's one. And then in verse 4, what happens? I'll tell you how you should forgive. Your forgiveness has little to do with your feelings. Your feelings. You don't have to feel forgiving in order to forgive. Where do we get that? Verse 4. Even if they sin against you 7 times in 7 years, 7 times in 7 months, 7 days, no. 7 times in 1 day. Who sins against you in 1 day? Except maybe the one living in your house. Okay. What's he saying? Now, there's another place where Jesus says, you know, if somebody sins against you 7 times, forgive them 7 times 7, right? That idea means just come over and over again. That means you just give and forgive completely again and again. That's different from here. Different. I submit to you it's different because it says forgive 7 times in a day. What does that mean? Nobody says, I'm sorry, 7 times, if they're sincere. If they really meant they're sorry, they're not going to do it 6 times again in 1 day, right? Right? So that means there's an aspect of your anger that you need to deal with. Because obviously, you're angry the second, the third, fourth time. And yet Jesus says, now watch it, even in your anger, forgive. Forgive. Now I know, last year I spoke on anger in the Proverbs. And I preached a sermon on anger, and I said, anger is actually something we get from God. God shows wrath and anger. You could even say, God is angry. Therefore, anger is not a sin. The very next Sunday, we have a testimony about somebody here. And they come up to the microphone and they say, yeah, Pastor Chris really hit me with a message last week about sin and the sin of anger, right? I never said sin is an anger, but I get it. I get it. Things I say up here, they're coming from all over the place and it's fine. But I submit to you and I repeat again, anger is not the sin. Anger will lead you to many kinds of sin if it's not handled correctly. But anger in itself is something that's reflective of God. And God says, handle it right. Now, here is one way that we handle anger. And that is, we set it aside for forgiveness. And so we go on here. Jesus is not saying, look. Jesus is not saying, ignore your anger. He's not saying that. Jesus is not saying, get over your anger. He is not saying that. But what he's saying is, forgiveness is an action that comes before the feeling. Because here's what a lot of us say to make an excuse. I don't feel like forgiving. I can't get over my anger. And so I can't forgive. Amen, somebody. I mean, I say that a lot in 1 week. I want to forgive. I want to love. I want to move on. But I feel so hurt, and that hurt becomes anger, and that anger goes down into bitterness. And God, I need to feel forgiving. And God says, what's that got to do with anything? And so here's what the disciples hear this, and they understand. And so, I hear the rolling thunder. All right. Okay, is God saying stop, or is God saying keep going? What? I don't know. Okay, all right. So verse 5, the disciples understand, and you know what? The disciples go, Jesus, forgive 7 times in a day? What? Jesus, we're supposed to forgive despite our feelings? Give us more faith. I need more faith. I need more feelings. I need more confidence. I need the faith of God to be able to forgive the way you do. And what's Jesus' answer? Verse 6. You don't need more faith. What's faith? I'll tell you what. You know what? You're right. Your faith is as small as a mustard seed. That's all right. You have the smallest faith anybody could have. And you know what? That's enough. It's not about the quality of your faith. It's not about the size of your faith. It's not about the quantity. It's about your obedience. The disciples said, give me more faith. They're blame shifting. God, it's on you. Jesus says, it's on you, bro. I'll tell you where I get that. Please look at the story. Say to this mulberry tree. Mulberry tree? Why mulberry tree? Mulberry trees have the strongest roots. They have the deepest, they go down the deepest, the root system is very strong. And it says, your small little faith, if you act on obedience, you take the strongest rooted tree and you could throw it in the ocean. That's how powerful it is. But how does it go into the ocean? Here's the key word. Be uprooted and planted in the sea and it will obey you. The issue is not faith. The issue is obedience. You want to be a disciple. You call me Lord. You call me your master. Learn obedience. See it? Do you see it? Pastor Chris, this is hard. This is hard. Let me make it a little bit easier. Jesus tells the story of a farmer. And the farmer has a farm hand, a shimobe, a servant. And that farm hand, that servant is working all day out in the field, caring for the sheep or cutting the harvest, whatever. He comes in after a long day of work. And the master says to him, o tsukare sama deshita. Put your feet up. Would you like some iced tea? Would you like some mugicha? No. What does the master say? Hey, you got some more work to do. All right? Go ahead, wash your hands, get my dinner ready, watch me eat, and then you can rest. Right? Now, this word, doulos, slave, servant, for those in the West, this is difficult because it brings up slavery, West African African slavery, and it's the ownership of a person. It's different. It's different from Bible slavery. It's servanthood. This is debtor's service. This is indentured servanthood. So I have someone in my family who has declared bankruptcy twice. But now they drive a car, they live in a house, they're doing just fine. But they declared bankruptcy twice because in modern times, when you start losing money on your business, you can immediately declare bankruptcy to the government and the government dissolves your debt and you're okay and you don't go to prison. Now, the ancients thought that's a stupid idea. That's not justice. if you cannot pay your debt, you have two options. One option, go to prison. Option number two, the creditor, the debtor, the one who you owe money to, can be merciful, and he could make you his servant. And what he does is he owns your work. He does not own your person. This is not an employee. This is different. This is not a worker with a wage. This is a servant who is paying off his debt. Are you following so far? Are we good? Yeah, we're good, right? This is that servant. And so for that servant to say, hey, boss, I need a break. Just give me a minute in the shade. In fact, I need 1 hour for lunch every day. I'm going to ask for a 10% raise after 2 years. Is that okay with you? Let's have a meeting. None of that. That's not employee. It's a servant who says, I owe you a debt, and I'm paying that debt off by working for you. Here it is. Follow me. The master owes nothing to the servant. And Jesus says, your God owes you nothing. And in order for you to understand how to forgive, you have to make the decision of a servant, both mentally and emotionally. Mentally and emotionally, you do your work, and does the servant expect, hey, good job, buddy. Hey, pat on the back. Otsukaresama deshita. No, the servant understands. It's got nothing to do with how I feel. It has everything to do with my obedience. Obedience. In fact, that's how I do my duty. Now, back to forgiveness. And we're done. Three things about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a goal. It's an aim. Forgiveness is an assumption. It's a taking on of something. And forgiveness is an acceptance. It's a payment. So I want to go back to our talk on forgiveness. Help me, Lord. When you are rebuking someone or giving them the truth, you should have forgiven them in your heart. Because the goal, here now, hear me, the goal is not make them pay. The goal is not punish them. Here's the goal of forgiveness. It is remove the evil and the wrong. Deal with the wrong being done and to stop the evil that's being perpetrated. Your heart is not against the person. Your heart is against the evil. Please keep that in mind. Okay? Because that is important to get to point number two, which is the assumption, to assume something. When you forgive, you have to assess. You have to be able to admit, I'm angry, this hurt. So the Christians are the worst at this. Christians are terrible. Here's what we do. I'm not angry. It's not that big a deal. I'm fine. Jesus forgave me. I forgive you. It's not that big a problem. When in fact, you saying that it's a big problem, you're already showing it's a problem. The first thing we need to do in order to forgive is to assess the somebody has robbed you. They have stolen from you. They have stolen your joy. They have stolen your peace. They have stolen your health. They have taken something away from you. They owe you a debt. And so you want to make them pay. But first, you have to say, this is what happened. This is where it hurt. This is the pain. And this is the evil. And take it for what it is. Do not diminish. Do not deny. That's first thing. Second thing is in order to forgive, here's the reason why we can't forgive. there's two things now. I know I'm getting mixed up here with the points and everything. Please forgive me. But here's what happens. There's one kind of person that says, I can't forgive. Because what you owe me is too expensive. I can't forgive because, well, let me just play it, put it simply, and then I'll try to work it out. You're superior. You can't forgive somebody if you feel superior to them. It's just that simple. For example, if you are a person that's always late, the meeting is at 3 o'clock. You're always there at 3:05, 3:10, 3:15. Okay? That's you. So now you set a meeting, and the person comes 15 minutes late. How do you feel? It's okay. I'm always late too. Right? We're in the same boat. I can forgive you your debt to me because I'm just like you. But let's say you're always on time. In fact, you're early on time. In fact, for you, on time equals 10 minutes early, right? So then the person comes 5 minutes late. How do you feel? Ugh, you terrible, horrible, evil. You know, you're just, you're superior. You feel superior to them just because you're always early, right? You can't forgive because of your pride. Because of your sense of superiority, you need humility. Say it. Amen? That's right. And so God says, I owe you nothing. Look, if I gave you everything you deserve right now, think about everything that you've gotten away with. Think about the sin, the words, the wrong, the secrets that you have, that you still have not suffered for. If God made you suffer for that right now, sayonara, you know, right? That's all of us. God owes you nothing, but now, please, you've been given so much forgiveness through the cross. He has, though your heart was crimson, he has made you white as snow. You've been, his grace has been poured out and poured out. His mercy is new every morning. And you still sit here breathing, hearing the word of God. He owes you nothing. You owe him everything. You're the servant. But here's your problem. You are the servant trying to be the king. Right? Only the king knows the problem. I'm talking to myself here. Let me talk in the mirror for just a second. Chris, you think you know what happened with him. You think you know his motivation. You think he's doing this to you because you know his heart. You don't know anything. You're a servant, and you're putting yourself in the seat of the king. And here's something more. You not only think you have the knowledge of the king, you think you have the goodness of the king. You're so morally superior. You're so grounded in the scripture. You know so much about heaven. You think you're better than everybody. You think you're better than him, at least. And so you can't forgive. Chris, go to the foot of the cross. Get a good drink of humility. Repent of your pride. If you can't say amen, you ought to say ouch. You need a poverty of the spirit. But you know what else you need? You need wealth of spirit. A lot of us can't forgive, not because of our pride, but you know what? Because of our insecurity. That's right. You're insecure. You're not confident in who you are. You're not confident in what God sees of you. I'll tell you what I mean. If you're insecure about your intellect, and somebody shows you how stupid you are, you're angry at them. They've exposed you. If you're insecure about your romantic ability, attractiveness, If you're insecure about who your looks or your appearance, and somebody puts you down about your appearance, you can't forgive them. If you're insecure about whatever, money, your status, your name, your education, your marriage, whatever, you put your identity, you stand on your achievements, and somebody pokes holes in that, you can't forgive. You know why? Because you're insecure. And so here's what you do. What's my identity? What's my security? What's my status? What's my crown? What's my ring? What's my clothing? I am clothed in the righteousness of Christ. I am a child of God. I am no longer a slave to fear. I was an outsider who became an insider through the grace of God. Now, I want to close this. He's talking about duty at the end of this in verse 10. We're unworthy servants who are just doing our duty. How do you have the power to forgive? Here it is. There is no duty without the beauty. Your heart must be melted by the beauty of the King who became a servant just for you. You were betrayed. You were gossiped. You were talked about. You know who else was gossiped, talked about, and betrayed? Jesus' closest friends, one of them denied him. One of them betrayed them. The other 10 left him, completely left him. Father, forgive them. His enemies are nailing him to the cross. Father, forgive them. Jesus was the King who made himself a servant so that we who are servants could enjoy the power to forgive like a king. That's the beauty. You will never be able to forgive unless you see the beauty. You'll never fulfill your duty as a servant to forgive without the beauty of... Let me give you another one. Actually, I'm going to get ahead of myself. Next week's sermon is on Luke chapter 17, verse 11, the story of the 10 lepers. Let me just give you the 10-second summary. Jesus healed 10 sick people. Okay? It's actually related to this story. You'll not be able to forgive because of your insecurity. But you see the lepers? They were dirty. They were outsiders. Jesus himself was the healthy man who became sick, so that through his sickness, we can be healed. Do you see that? We are the lepers. We are the outsiders. We're the Samaritan. But Jesus took the punishment and the crucifixion and the outcast. He gave us our value and our identity by exchanging with us our sickness and our insecurity. You cannot forgive unless you see the beauty of what Jesus did for you. My last sentence is this. Without the gospel, you have no power to forgive. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for all who believe. My friends, my Christian friends, believe the gospel. Learn how to forgive. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I have been so offensive to non-Christians because of my unforgiving, bitter anger and self-righteousness. Please forgive me. I repent. But Heavenly Father, I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior from unforgiveness and bitterness, the hell of unforgiveness. Jesus Christ, thank you for the cross, for shedding your blood, for taking my punishment, taking my debt upon yourself, so that now I am free to forgive the debt of others. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please rise as we sing our closing song together. Thankful that you brought us here together to experience your power and your spirit. But Lord, as we go from here, we ask that you'd fill us with your spirit, that as we are filled, we would have the fruit of the spirit, the fruit of love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and goodness, gentleness and faithfulness, and self-control. For these good things, we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for coming today. God bless you. Have a great Sunday. Amen.